Everybody, this is Ordinary Christians. My name is Ron Sitlau. Today I'm with Bob Bauer and Derek Buchema, and we are looking at the state of the church during the COVID-19 pandemic. Things are not looking great for the American church, and we're going to talk about why we think that is. Hey, everybody. This is Ron Sitlau. I'm with Bob Bauer and Derek Buchema, and today we're going to talk a little bit about the state of the church. Some new research has come out from Barna, and it's showing something that is startling. Since the beginning of the pandemic, the COVID pandemic in March, about a third of Christians have stopped engaging either online or in person with church. And researchers and don't know what it means. And so today we want to talk a little bit about what it might mean and what we might do as ordinary Christians to make sure that this isn't a season of falling away. So you guys, what are your initial reactions to the Barna research?
Well, I can start a little bit, Ron, because you did a blog post about this and I commented there and I said, could it be, and I'm not going to say that I'm the authority, but I'm going to say, could it be that the third that have fallen away are what the Bible would call in the book of Revelation, lukewarm Christians, that when a time of crisis comes, they're like, forget it. It's no big deal. And you know, the Bible says in Revelation that the Lord will, it turns the Lord's stomach. It almost like gets his stomach and he wants to throw up, if you will, because some Christians are truly not following the Lord. They were following an hour of religious activity. Mm. And once that was taken away in person, it's like, hey, forget it. I'll just go on my life and enjoy this seventh day in a unique way. So I think there is a possibility that the COVID lockdown has exposed a third of lazy Christians. Hmm.
Yeah, some people kind of push back to that too.
They're probably the lazy ones.
Yeah. What do you think, Derek? What were your
couple of thoughts? One is that while a third of practicing Christians have stopped viewing services online and stopped engaging during COVID, it's half of practicing Christian millennials who are not engaging in services, which is really striking. There are so many things that come to mind. One is that there's a reason that we as Christians desire accountability and need accountability, because I think that some of the reason that this is not happening is that people who would be accountable to people in a church setting where they'd be like, hey, where have you been? Like, I haven't seen you in a while. Now, when you're all watching online, and there's not the same level of accountability, certain people can fall through the cracks. And so I think that this kind of speaks to the fact that accountability is a really good and necessary thing in the Christian life. And when you're coming together to be gathered together with a group of people, that there is something that's really, really good. Christianity is never just an individual me and myself and God kind of religion. It's always the sort of faith that incorporates the body, the full body. And so when the body is separated, it makes sense to me in a sense that there would be less accountability and that therefore there would be people who would become disengaged, who would not be under ordinary circumstances because of that lack of accountability. So that's one thing that comes to mind for me. Is right. That piece of all of it? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, no, I have an illustration that I'm almost certain it was Alan Hirsch completely. I'm almost confident in that great illustration. He said, if you're going to teach someone how to play chess, he said, everyone knows that the king is key, but the queen is actually the most important character on the board, and because it can move all around, et cetera. And he said, if you're teaching someone chess, it's really wise to take the queen out and say, don't play without the queen. And they learn all the other nuances of the game, because otherwise they're too dependent on the queen. And he said, COVID-19 took the queen out of the game. Mm-hmm. And that was a weekend worship service. The queen has been taken away. And what's left is what should be the rubrics of a discipleship that's ongoing, although odd and different, but engaging you to be in community, whether it's a Zoom small group, whether it's online worship. But the queen has been removed. And if we can learn how to function without the queen for a while, when the queen comes back, we'll actually be better than before. That was a great illustration.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And when I share that illustration with a congregation, people are going like, that makes sense. And so I think that plays into this a little bit, is that some people were dependent on the queen. The queen has been removed. Therefore, what do you do? Because is it possible to grow as a Christian and be discipled and help be held accountable in maturity during COVID-19? Absolutely. It's going to be different and a lot more work, but it's certainly not a time to fall away.
That's right. That's right.
Go ahead.
Go for it, Ron.
One of the things I think about with what you say, Bob, is that this is a time, you know, anytime there's any kind of, you know, trouble or challenging times, it reveals what is actually going on. So it's the truth when there's, you know, tragedy in your personal life or something communally. And what this challenge has revealed is the depth of our Christian faith. And that is a scary thing, but it need not be a devastating thing. It can be the grounds of crying out and go, Lord, I thought there was something deeper here, but one thing taken away and now I'm disengaged completely. Mm-hmm. That ought to, you know, cause us to cry out for mercy. What were you going to say, Derek?
Well, just that study was very discouraging to me. And some of it was, I had hoped that in the midst of a crisis, right, in the midst of a global pandemic where people were confronted with the reality of their own, finitude, the fact that we're going to die, I was hoping that that meant that the message of the gospel was going to penetrate deeply and very widely as people might engage. And the fact that so many Christians have, in fact, disengaged in the midst of all of this was the exact opposite of what I was hoping would be the case in this time of crisis. And I'm not exactly sure how to process all of that. I'm just really sad by it, because I was hoping that this might lead to some measure of like spiritual fervor or revival or renewal. And I really hope that it doesn't end up taking us in the opposite direction.
Do you think it teaches, you know, we're all pastors of churches. Are there things that it reveals to you that will change the way that you lead going forward? Things that we need to focus on, things that we need to cultivate in our churches that maybe we just took for granted before?
I would say yes for me. About a month into the COVID dilemma, I literally commissioned off the record what I call a dream team of discipleship. So I got the best lay people and a staff that I could find, and they are truly a dream team, and said to them, without using the illustration of Alan Hirsch, I didn't have that language. Now I would say, I said to them, can you create a discipleship program of raising up believers without a weekend service? And they have, honestly, they are close to revealing it, and it is going to be amazing. So that's why I'm saying I have hope, because this pandemic has forced us to look at discipleship more intensely, so that we're raising up strong believers that can weather a COVID pandemic, a lockdown, or a racially tension-filled country, and still at the same time raise up leaders and disciplers that are discipling others. Yeah.
I think that this also it illustrates something that we all know all along, and that is, you know, for ordinary Christians who are parents, you need to train up your kids to know that Jesus is absolutely important. And one of the things that I found when I went to Wheaton College, and there was a big joke about it, right? Like, is that a lot of students stopped going to church at Wheaton College. And you'd be like, where'd you go to church? And it's like, oh, yeah, I was the Church of the Great Comforter today, was the joke with the Pastor Pillow there. And it was amazing how many people came to Wheaton College and disengaged from church. This is a Christian college, right? And so one of the things that you find when you delve into that is that oftentimes for those that disengage from church is because they had been taught either intentionally or unintentionally that this was kind of, you know, maybe not of first importance in the life of a Christian. You're going to go to chapel, so I mean, you have Bible classes, so maybe church isn't as important. And so, I mean, parents, you have an incredibly important responsibility to teach your children that this is of first importance. And that means that if you have kids, this has to be of first importance to you too. Like, you got to be one of the folks that's like, all right, we're not worshiping at church right now. Things are still, I mean, we're still worried about the virus. You know what we're going to do? We're still going to be in our living room together as the service is starting. We're still going to be standing for the songs. We're still going to be singing. We're still going to be listening. We're still going to be taking notes. We're still going to bring our Bibles, right? All of those sorts of things inculcate in your children, in your family, and in your own heart, the importance of what it is that you're doing.
Yeah,
and I think that recognizing that this spiritual discipline of being in church is something that you need to continue to have the discipline to engage in, even in this unusual time.
In some respects, Derek, I want to tag on to what you said about families and parents of young children. I think there's a possibility that we have created a culture where a children's ministry, a worship at kids' level, separate from adults, could potentially do some damage if we're not careful. In other words, upon reentry, in-person worship, you know, you're not having children's programs like we had pre-COVID, and there are parents staying away from church going like, oh, it's just too much work, and I can't keep Johnny quiet, and, you know, da, da, da. And I'm going like, did we screw up? Because we need to be, whether you're in a kid's program at a kid's level, age-appropriate worship, praise the Lord, or an adult, they should be learning the awe of who our great God is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like some of the parents, even when we were online, are kind of like, yeah, we haven't been watching as much because the kids are insane during that hour. And I'm like, that's your problem. I know I'm sounding harsh, but I'm like, line them up on the couch, tell them they're not moving, and keep quiet. I know that sounds so traditional, but I think it's true. Because what you're sending a message to the children is, you are going to honor the God who created the heavens and the earth, is worthy of 1 hour for you sitting still, even if you don't engage in every song and every message as a kid, just saying you're sending a priority value.
Yep. I tend to think that what we're seeing is, again, this idea that, you know, church was a product that was something that we could, you know, we engage with it because we like it and it's convenient. And everyone kind of bought into that. We're going to make it convenient. We're going to take care of your kids. We're going to make sure you have the great coffee. We're going to give you the best worship. We're going to give you the amazing speaker. And then if you don't do that, I'll go down the street and find the guy who, or the, you know, the church that does it better. And when those things are stripped away, when you can't produce the best product and you can't be in the great building and, you know, you can't have all the best and the brightest, what is left is a life of following Jesus. And I think one of the things that we're learning as a church is we have to spend much more time in developing in individuals and families and small communities the life of Jesus that they themselves can carry on without all the bells and whistles. And then you know, trying to wow people with something amazing. And that is, you know, that this is, I think this is pushing us to that. I think we were all coming to that reality, but I think COVID has quickened that reality.
I think that you both have got to stop talking because I'm starting to get convicted about all of this sort of stuff.
Oh, Derek, this is an intervention. I see some.
Yeah. I think also there's a side of our last podcast or two podcasts ago about the cancel culture. A little bit that's coming into play into this topic today too, which is it's not what I want, so I'm just going to stop going.
Yep. And it reveals what I hope we all understand is that, you know, what this reveals about whether we engage or not, it just reveals where we're at with the Lord. And our commitment to church community and working it out, even when it's hard and challenging, just reveals where we're at with the Lord. people who are rooted in love and who are mature, they find their way. And those who who have to be fed the milk and who really, can't survive on their own, who don't have the disciplines and the community to continue to be rooted, you're going to easily fall away. And this, imagine what's happening in China, what we talked about recently happening here. Then you want to talk about shifting. Mm-hmm. It would be shifting, and there's not going to be any, bells and whistles then. So.
Hi, Derek, you talked about the millennial generation and below. There's a side of me as an old guy now. I'm the oldest of the three here by a long shot. And I can say, I want to call them out and say, millennial and below, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop being lazy. Get your butt in the community of God's people, whether it's on a Zoom meeting online, whether it's in-person worship, or you're going to stay online. Do it. I'm asking you to repent. I'm saying that's an excuse to say, well, I just don't get it. I get much out of it. Online service. So mm-hmm. I don't care. You're under the teaching of the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God being proclaimed. You need to be under that cover.
That's stop right.
Stop it. Bob Newhart show. Remember that? Stop it.
Yeah. Yep.
One thing that I do wonder about, and I do agree with you 100%. I think that's a true word for all of us. What I do wonder about is, if we have accidentally said that is what church is, and well, if it's not there, then there isn't church to go to. And so I think, as you talk about discipleship and, helping people grow and become a Christian apart from, a Sunday morning service, I think that is the antidote to the idea that it is just something that's, so marginal to life. And that's what I think. What do you think, Derek? What do you think the millennials are doing?
I don't know. I mean, so I am a millennial, and I think
so
that
glad you're still going to church.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I have the benefit of actually still being able to go to church all throughout this and preach the message all throughout. I just want everyone to heed the word that Bob has said. I mean, we've got to stop it. And there is, for all of us, and millennials, we've been the worst at this. I mean, we've got to develop discipline to be committed to Christ and his ways and his church, even in times where it's not convenient or not the way that we would prefer it to be taking place. And like has been said, it may be that the fact that you're still engaging through a church live stream is not what you would prefer, but you've got to have the humility enough to engage in that sort of way. It may be that some of the restrictions that exist in church right now with some of the distancing or the masks is not what you would prefer. You need to be humble enough to submit yourself to the leadership of your Amen. Church and still engage in church life and not distance yourself from it because it's not happening exactly the way that you would prefer or you would want. And while we live in a time where there are restrictions, we all need to be humble enough to acknowledge and to recognize that things are not as we would like them to be.
Yeah,
and
for
in
sure.
fact, this can make us realize that things in the world are never the way that we would like them to be because we live in a broken, fallen, sin-stained world. And because sin is in the world, death is in the world, division is in the world, the enemy is in the world who's trying to thwart the ways of the Lord God. And so things will never be as we would desire them to be. And so our call is to be as humble and gracious and godly as we can be in the midst of all of these sorts of situations. And right now, in the midst of global pandemic, it means still engaging, even if it's uncomfortable or not as it once was.
So go ahead.
No, Ron, just a little stream off of this conversation that I've been dealing with in my own brain for about 7 days. And I just want your input. I think evangelism has taken a hit during COVID because the church doesn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just talking about discipleship and maturity and growing. There has been a silence of a desire to reach lost people that are far from God in the gospel witness. I don't have the answer to that, but I do believe that there's been a silencing of the church.
Yeah, and what it reveals is that Barna has also shown that millennials in particular, but Christians at large, a majority of them, a large majority of them, do not personally witness. They don't engage their neighbors with the gospel. And where before, you know, we had a mechanism in place where people could come and seek. Well, if that mechanism is not there, all we have are left with are our neighbors and our lives and who we are. And we have to learn how to make that the ground of evangelism, which is actually the better ground. I want to close with this. We're all leaders and visionaries, and we believe in a God who's sovereign, who has orchestrated and permitted and allowed all of these things for his church, but not to destroy the church, but to enable her to prevail and to be glorious. And so look out 2 years, COVID is over, things are normal again. How is the church different? What have we learned? What are we doing? How are we engaging that makes us look back and go, wow, thank you, Lord, that we have endured this because of who we are now?
I'll speak to it in a hopeful sort of way. My hope is that 2 years from now, when we're gathered, there's a vaccine so we can gather together again without restrictions. My hope is that there is deep gratitude in that, and there's a level of never taking that for granted again. We're all too quick to fall into taking things for granted, but I hope that there's this intentional kind of like, all right, let's not take this for granted. This is not a given thing for us to be able to worship in this sort of way. So let's rejoice at being together. I think that there will be, you know, practical things that change. Like, I think Orland Park CRC will vote for elders and deacons online from here on out after that process went much more smoothly. But I hope that in a broad sense that there is a deepening gratitude just in being together.
Yeah, I would say that I would first of all hope that we would get back to better, not just back to normal, because normal still was okay. But I want us to get back to better. And the other thing is I would hope that there would be a great awakening. I would love in my lifetime to see a great awakening come soon. And before I leave this earth, and I study enough church history that to see the fascination of awakenings and revivals in the church. And I would hope and pray that this could possibly be one of the causes.
Yeah, you know, the Spanish flu around it was the great Azusa revival. And so I think that this is a slow burn. I do think the Lord is purifying his church. I think that he is teaching us something really important about the value of relationships and the value of the small hidden things and why they really, really matter. And that in the next season after COVID is over, I think he's growing big Christians that will be beautiful, who then will actually be more evangelistically on mission because they have a life that is actually filled with the life of the heavens. And I am with you, Bob. I am praying for and believe for a great revival in our time. And I think this is the ground where it's all beginning. So God bless you guys. Thank you for joining today. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll talk to you soon.